From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. Bell South plans to get out of the payphone business by the end of next year. The company will either sell or remove its 143,000 phones in states from Louisiana to North Carolina. The announcement is one of several recent indications that the coin-operated payphone may have outlived its usefulness in an increasingly wireless society. NPR's Adam Hochberg reports.
With all the modern ways to communicate, emails, cellular phones, pagers, and the like, old-fashioned coin-operated phones are being left behind. There still are about 2 million of them in the United States, but that's 15% fewer than there were just 3 years ago. One of the nation's largest independent coin phone owners, a company called ETS, filed for bankruptcy in September. And now Bell South has become the first of the regional Bell companies to exit the payphone business. Spokesman David Blumenthal says Bell South is no longer making money on its public phones in the Southeast because people simply don't have much need for them anymore.
Traditional users of payphones, younger people, say the new generation of users, are just faced with so many more alternatives, wireless and personal communications devices, interactive pagers, things of that nature. And so we've seen that decline in usage.
The number of American payphones began falling in 1998, ending a long period of growth for one of the most successful inventions of the 19th century. Indeed, historians say the coin phone played a major role in introducing Americans to the wonders of the telephonic age. The first was installed in 1889 by Connecticut inventor William Gray, the same man who designed the baseball chest protector. By 1902, there were 80,000 payphones, and their numbers continued to grow. AT&T boasted in this 1948 film that its payphones collected more than $100,000 a day in New York City alone.
At your service, the coin telephone, used day and night by millions of people for business calls, personal calls, emergencies, for calls to everywhere about everything.
In its early days, the payphone often was the only phone in rural towns and city neighborhoods. Not until after World War II did most American households have telephones of their own. Before that, people made their calls with coins at the corner drugstore or on the street outside their apartment building. University of California sociologist Claude Fisher says those neighborhood public phones were an essential form of communication for decades.
Typically what would happen is a call might come in, and there were in many places boys who made extra money by being runners, who might actually hang around the phone booth, and they'd answer the phone as soon as it rang, and then they go run up the seven flights up a tenement or whatever it took, deliver the message, get a nickel tip, and that's the way the communication would go from phone to resident.
Even as home telephone service became almost universal after the war, payphones continued to thrive, serving an increasingly mobile culture. By 1960, there were more than 1 million in service, many of them by that time housed in familiar glass booths. Phones sprouted on busy city sidewalks and out-of-the-way rural roads, in airports and shopping malls and hotel lobbies. Historians say the public phone booth became so omnipresent that it grew into a symbol of a gadget-loving society. James Katz is the author of Connections, a book about the telephone's role in American life.
The phone booth has been an important icon of American culture since its invention in the late 19th century. People used to enjoy stuffing themselves into it to see how many people could fit into it. The telephone booth played prominent roles in movies, and of course we also know it as the way that Superman was able to manage multiple identities.
Look, Jim, I'm going out to the chief's house now.
I don't like this, Mr. Kent.
So long. Too bad I had to be rude to Jim, but I gotta get out of these clothes fast. This is definitely a job for Superman. Now, up and away!
Lately, though, the payphone industry has faced threats that even a superhero can't conquer. Not only has wireless technology cut into the coin phone business, but when people do talk on public phones now, they're likely to use calling cards or toll-free numbers, which bring in less money than coin calls do. In some neighborhoods, residents have demanded payphones be removed because of concerns they attract drug dealers. And Katz says servicing the nation's remaining public phones has become an expensive burden, even for huge telephone conglomerates.
The payphone requires a lot of maintenance. It has to be cleaned and checked. So by getting rid of the expense of having to send somebody out in a truck and take off all the stickers, repair the wires that are torn out and the axe marks that are all over the face of the payphone, It's a headache they're glad to be rid of.
As the phones become less common, Katz says lower-income people will miss them most. About 6 million Americans don't have telephones of their own, and many still rely on coin phones to contact their families, conduct personal business, or call for help in emergencies. Patty Neal Dorian at the North Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence says public phones are often the way victims seek aid when they're fleeing an abusive spouse. She worries that once Bell South removes its phones from her state, some domestic violence cases will go unreported.
Can you really imagine trying to run away from someone who's going to hurt you, and if you can't find a payphone to call for help? I mean, put yourself in that position and imagine what that would feel like. It would feel totally hopeless. A simple thing like the phone company can't afford to keep a payphone on your block impacts this woman's life.
The federal government deregulated the payphone industry in 1996, so advocacy groups are asking states to step in and preserve the devices in places where safety might be jeopardized without them. California and Wisconsin already have done so. Meanwhile, in the Southeast, Bell South is looking for smaller, independent firms to buy parts of its public phone network, but business analysts are not optimistic. Other regional Bell companies have failed to find buyers for payphones they've taken out of service, and James Katz says market forces may well bring an end to the whole public phone industry within 10 years. Adam Hochberg, NPR News.